Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you on this Tuesday morning. Trust you're doing well and looking forward to a blessed day in the Lord. We will always remember day by day, moment by moment, that Jesus Christ is Lord and that the kingdom of God from generation to generation has always won the victory. There will never, ever, ever be a time when the darkness will overcome the light. The Word of God is very clear on this issue. And so continue to walk in the light, walk in the glory, walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah of the world. He is the name above all names. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one that will execute the righteous judgment upon the beast, the false prophet, the dragon, and Babylon itself. So we just want to praise God this morning for the faith that we have, regardless of what we see. We are the head and not the tail. He always causes you and I to triumph. We have been created to be more than conquerors. And so lift up your heads, raise up your hands, strengthen your knees, and get ready for the journey that lies ahead. We are the generation that has been designed by God to face these days. If God wanted the people 2,000 years ago to face them, then they would have and guaranteed the ecclesia from generation to generation in the last 50 generations upon this earth have always contended with some aspect of the beast, the dragon, Lucifer, the false prophet, the dragon, the devil, all of it. There's always been a contest from generation to generation, but we have been designed for this moment, and we are becoming pressure proof. That's tribulation proof. God's building something on the inside. He's putting his heat shields around you and making you strong to be able to handle whatever. And again, from generation to generation, from the beginning of time, the righteous have always prevailed. There is always the prevailing power of God wherever the righteous of God are. And today we are going to stand up because we're going to face some mighty forces, and you know that's true. And we are going to undergo a great trial, and we know that the trials that we go through are designed by God to make us pure, refined, holy. And so don't be dismayed, saints of God. Just know that you are undergoing a severe trial of affliction, and you're not alone. Peter wrote and said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. And remember that your brethren around the world are undergoing the same trial of affliction. So be encouraged today with that truth of God's word. You are going to contend with mighty forces. And I want to go back. We've been studying the last, I don't know how long, we've been looking at this whole Babylonian Babylon mechanism. And I want to go back into it again. But I felt today was Tuesday talk time. And what we'd like to do is open our telephone lines up today and make sure that our listeners have an opportunity to call into the broadcast and share your thoughts. But I cannot emphasize the need for the saints to be built up in this moment. I believe in everything that we teach and preach, and I believe the Bible, and you believe the Bible. You believe in Scripture. And I know that what we do is we feed the flock of God, the Word of God, because the Word of God is at work in us to build us up, to transform us, and to prepare us. I know that no man's wisdom, no man's philosophy, no religion in the world can make you ready to meet the Lord. I know that there's nothing on this planet except for the biblical Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, that there is nothing else on this planet that can prepare you for your encounter with your Creator or mine. I know that the Word of God, presented properly as a word of instruction, encouragement, inspiration, but also this word is a double-edged sword. It may bring the sweetest of information and revelation, but it may also bring about the bitterest reality in the human condition. And we must allow ourselves to receive both. The bitterness of the Word of God is simply where that word enters into our psyche, it enters into our heart, and convicts us of our sin, reveals to us the depth of our being. And unfortunately, we've had a tendency to be very shallow. And what we want is we want a genie out of a bottle, and we want to open up the Bible, and we want to just receive nothing but the sweetness of the Scriptures. And boy, oh boy, are they sweet when they are presented properly. But we, again, must understand that this entire new covenant is about purging, refining, discipline, brokenness, death to self, carrying the cross. I mean, it is a terrific, life-giving spirit, but it is also a death blow to every aspect of the Adamic human nature. We can't even fathom the depth of our humanity, the depravity that lurks in the deepest crevices of our existence, but this word does. This word of God has the power to shine in the depths of our existence to bring about a revelation and understanding of what is dwelling in the depth. Are there beasts? Are there locusts? Is there a dragon in our sea, so to speak? What is it that is down there? Now, we all know that we've been broken and we are sinners. And to some degree, the adversary has operated in our soul because of his legal access through sin. Now that his legal access has been cut off, through faith in Jesus Christ and by the shedding of the blood, now comes the restoration of the damages that have been incurred because of sin. And we need to get down into there, but you can't do it. A psychologist can't do it. A psychiatrist can't do it. The only understanding is the Word of God. And the Word of God is so, my good, miraculous, because it not only foretells the future or talks about the history of where we've come from and God's mighty power and all the different things, but to understand that this Word can reveal the gunk in our innermost being, that it can purge us, that it can refine us like fire refines gold and silver, to understand that this Word has power to bring deliverance from sickness, disease, bondage of every kind, to release the captives and set the captives free. I mean, this Word of God is amazing, and that's why it is so sad that so many people have committed themselves to psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors, and, you know, mankind has a tendency to want to feel and touch, and yet this Word of God, when presented with anointing, has the ability to enter right into every situation and bring about the glory of God. Yes, even the darkest areas of sin, the darkest areas of depravity and corruption and defilement, this Word can go in there and clean it up. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. So then what is Babylon? What is Babylon? Well, in definition, when you read about Babylon, and this is from the very beginning, the first time Babylon, the word Babylon is ever mentioned in the scriptures in 2 Kings chapter 17. And it simply says the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon. And then every other time the word Babylon is mentioned in scripture, it carries the Hebrew definition. And the number of that definition is 894. And it means this. It's translated as Babel, Babel. And Babel simply means confusion by mixing. Let's talk about it. Confusion by mixing. The very first thought that comes to my mind when I hear that definition, confusion by mixing, when we mix the Word of God with our own understanding, we're going to get confused. When we mix the unadulterated, pure, holy Word of God with our philosophical, conceptual ideas, we're going to get confused. Whenever we mix God's Word with our religious understanding in the negative sense, or our preconceived ideas about God, or our limited focus and understanding, we're going to be confused. What is so awesome when the Word of God is presented to an open heart, an honest heart, a good soiled heart, when the Word of God is presented to the good soiled heart, which means a heart that is ready to be plowed, a heart that is ready to be sown into, a heart that has good, honest soil. In other words, there's no resistance to God's Word. It's wide open to receive whatever God says, even if it challenges our old paradigms. There's no resistance. So when the Word of God enters in, and we don't mix it, we're not going to be confused. We're going to know exactly where we stand. Well, Babylon is all about confusion. It's all about confusion by mixing. This is why, in one aspect, God told Israel not to mix itself with the nations of the earth. And most certainly, God would tell the church, the ecclesia today, not to mix itself with the world. That's why the admonition in the New Testament, come out from among her and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a God unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Do not be a friend of the world, for he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God, James 4. Then we read in 1 John that love not the world, neither the things in the world, for whoever loves the world has not the love of the Father in him. There is one admonition after another to the ecclesia, the called out ones, to have nothing to do with mixing with this world. Now, we're in it, but we're not of it. We can use it, but we don't abuse it. We don't depend on it. But the reality of God's call upon the life of the church is to bring it all the way out so it can be consecrated unto God. And that means to be made holy. Holy means to be consecrated, completely separated from the philosophy of the world, the decor of the world, the ways of the world, the systems of the world. Yes, again, we can use them. Yes, again, we're here. But don't abuse them to the point when God says, come out of her, my people, that we're not going to be able to do that. And you know how easy that is when the children of Israel went into captivity for 70 years, and then they were told to go back and build. The majority of the Israelis stayed in Babylon because it was comfortable to them. They had built their lives there. And we have to be very careful that we don't build our lives in Babylon today and not be able to go out when God says to go out, because it's time to go out. I mean, it's at the threshold. So we are called, like Israel was, to come all the way out. All the way out. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We are to operate by a totally different system of healing, of economy, food supply, water supply. And again, I'll remind you that in Genesis, God gave the seven systems of man's existence, the benefit, food, water, the economy, labor. We've talked about that. And remember, when Israel was in the wilderness, God sent them food from heaven, whether it was manna or quail. God gave them water out of a rock. So the system of God has the ability to provide for God's people. There was healing going on in the wilderness without doctors, hospitals. There was food without supermarkets, water available. There was even an economy that they went into the wilderness with. They spoiled the Egyptians. They took all their gold and silver. They had all the stuff. They went in with an economy. So everything that you and I will need, God is already preparing. God has already prepared for a people that would seek to enter in, access, and understand his kingdom. Now, don't get disturbed by saying, man, I've been a part of Babylon for so long, I don't even know if I could trust that other stuff anymore. Well, the bottom line is that this is where everything is heading. We're going to have to trust the Lord, because he's going to bring us, each one of us, into an experience. And right now, what he's doing through the purging, you know, there's a purpose for purging. The scriptures are very clear that God is going to purge the sons of Levi and refine them like a refiner's fire. I mean, there's a reason for that, so that we could be cleared up in our understanding and thinking, so that our complete reliance is upon God. Our complete reliance is upon God. Because our reliance on anything else could get us in a lot of trouble. And so, again, we're talking about relying. Can I live without the house that I live in today? Can I live without the systems of the world today? Can I go outside the system? Can I go outside the city of Babylon and find a place to dwell? Well, the Bible says yes, in Revelation 12, that God has prepared a place for his people, but he's got to purge us and refine us so that we have nothing hanging on that could trip us up. And we've been talking lately at New Wine Ministries about the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little bit of leaven that leavens the whole loaf, okay? We're dealing with the little things that interfere with the purposes of God. And you and I must know by this time that God is wanting to get a people ready for what we're about to enter into. So, again, having said all of that, I'm looking at Babylon, looking at Babel, where it all begins. And as you know, and I know, we go all the way back to Genesis, and we find a man by the name of Nimrod. Can we talk about Nimrod for just a moment? Who is this Nimrod? You know what his name actually means? The name Nimrod actually means rebellion. His name means rebellion. And I'm going to put it up right here, and I'm going to give you a surprise scripture on this one. If you were to look in the Hebrew, it's Nimrod, and it means rebellion or the valiant. And I thought that was very interesting because when I looked at the word valiant, I remembered in Jeremiah chapter 9 where God was saying that they are not valiant for the truth. Here's a valiant man, but he wasn't valiant for the truth. Nimrod is the man of rebellion. And you know that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you know that the world we live in right now is in rebellion against God. Our laws that we have promoted recently are in rebellion against God. Our ways of existence are in rebellion against God. The way that we use the systems of the world are in rebellion against God. In other words, the education system in our world today, rather than educating men and women for the glory of God, we educate them to become communists and little socialists, right? And yet there was a time that the universities in the United States of America, whether they were Harvard or any other, those universities were raising up missionaries to send to the ends of the earth. That is a truth about the beginning of our nation. And so even our education system today is in rebellion against God. Nothing wrong with education, but either you're educating in righteousness or you're educating in rebellion. And we are seeing the education of rebellion for the majority in the public arena. And so it is with every other mechanism, every other system. And those that are controlling the systems, for example, God's the one that gave man the system of food and water. We know that. And when righteous men are controlling food and water supply, things are going to work out very well. But when ungodly men, when man of rebellion takes control of the food and water supply, things aren't going to go so well for everybody. And we know today that those who control the food supply in our country, as that system comes more and more under the control of the Antichrist, we won't even be able to buy or sell and have food or water from that system that's now controlled by the man of sin, the Nimrod, the rebellious. And you and I have to become aware that regardless of who is in control of these systems, that at the end of time, God has prepared a place to nourish and to take care of his people. And you and I must find our way and navigate through the Holy Spirit into that place. And I believe that if we are operating in righteousness, if we are operating in the truth, if we are seeking God as for hidden treasure, if we're desiring the Lord, we have no idols before him. If God is number one, we will be perceptive about where we are and where is this place, God? Where is it? Now, the awesome thing is that God actually brings the woman to that place in Revelation chapter 12. And the great thing is that God will guide you into a place of provision at a time where the rest of the world will be taking the mark of the beast in order to get their provision. Now, much of the church doesn't even want to go here because they don't want to believe they're going to live in a world that God would never allow his kids to suffer and live in a world where you can't eat or drink without the mark of the beast. Well, the good news is that God has a provision in the last days that you and I need to be brought into as we are seeking the Lord. In other words, we don't need to disappear off the face of the earth in order to survive what's coming down the pike. There are enough evidences in the Word of God that we can be taken care of and will be taken care of. And we need to start thinking in that direction. Start thinking in that direction. So, Nimrod, rebellion. His name actually shows up in Chronicles, in the book of Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 1:1 begins with a chronology of the human race. We always go back to Genesis, but what's really awesome is the writer of Chronicles begins chapter 1 of Chronicles, verse 1, with Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Rather boring when you just kind of look at it that way, but the mysteries that are connected to that lineage. Watch this. 1 Chronicles 1:5. The sons of Japheth are Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech. You hear all those names in the Ezekiel 38 war, right? Tubal, Meshech, Magog, Javan, Gomer. These are, who are they? The sons of Japheth. Verse 6 goes on to say, the sons of Gomer, which was the firstborn son of Japheth, are Ashkenaz. You've heard of the Ashkenazi Jews, right? Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmah. There's another one. Togarmah is there in scriptures when it comes to end times. And verse 7 goes on to say, and the sons of Javan, which was another son of Japheth, the sons of Javan were Elisha and Tarshish and Kittim and Dodanim. Again, the ships of Tarshish are found in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. In 1 Chronicles 1:8, the sons of Ham. Now we're going to shift to not the son of Noah who was Japheth. Now we're going to go to the sons of Ham. And here's where it gets very interesting. The sons of Ham are Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush were Seba, and Havilah, and Sabtah, and Ramah, and Septicah, and the sons of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. And then in verse 10, and Cush, which was the son of Ham, the firstborn son of Ham, and Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be mighty upon the earth. Now, that word mighty is an interesting word. It's gibor, gibor, and it simply means to be powerful, a warrior, a tyrant, a champion, a chief, a giant, a valiant man. That word is the same word that is used over in Genesis chapter 6, where it says in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men. That's the gibor, which were of old men of renown. So the giborim, or the gibor, the mighty men, the powerful men, the tyrants, well, this is who Nimrod is. Now, remember, the end is revealed from the beginning. That's very clear in Isaiah. The end of time will be revealed from the beginning of time. In the beginning, there's a man of sin. His name is Nimrod. He's a man of rebellion. He's a tyrant. He is opposed to God. He's making a name for himself, a city, a tower. He's in total rebellion against God. And we see that when he wants to build the tower that is actually called Babel. And when we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11, we find that this tower of Babel, this tower of confusion, this tower that is being built by Nimrod. So in the beginning, we have a man of sin, a man of rebellion. And at the end of time, there will be a man of sin. We find him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This man of sin is the son of destruction. He's the son of perdition. He is the huios, the mature son of perdition. He is, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin. He's a Nimrod. He's a man of rebellion. He's the one that will stand against every purpose of God. And we are witnessing his spirit has been in the earth forever. We believe this man to be the man in Isaiah chapter 14, who is none other than Lucifer himself. Because we read in Isaiah chapter 14, the same description of what the man of sin is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For example, Isaiah 14, 12, how art thou fallen from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now you go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and you read the same exact verbiage of the man of sin. And what does he say in his heart? We've read it many times, but let's read it one more time. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that is the exact language of Isaiah chapter 14. And this is none other than Lucifer himself. Lucifer, who at the beginning of time was the archangel of God. He was there before men were created upon the face of the earth. Lucifer, the spirit of rebellion. As we understand Lucifer to have led a rebellion against God. We understand him as the devil. We understand him as the Antichrist. We understand him as the adversary, as the serpent. Lucifer has been in this earth from the beginning of time. At the beginning, God overthrew his work. At the end, in Revelation 18, God will overthrow his work again. This must be very frustrating to the powers of darkness. But before the overthrow in the last days, there will be a completion of his ultimate desire stretching back in time of Babylon. The Babylon of Genesis 10 and 11 will finally come to fruition globally all over the world. That Babylon's leaders will control the systems that exist in the world today that so many people are comfortable with. Electricity, food, water, economy, labor, and all the other systems related to man's existence on the earth that originally were given to him by God. But do you remember when man sinned? That authority, that dominion, that ability to control the systems, he forfeited them. Obviously, Satan took the keys, the authority, the dominion of all these things. Now, through faith in Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus took those keys away. He has the dominion, the authority in his kingdom. And our existence is to be within his kingdom. But the world is set up. We've been growing up in the world and all of its systems that are counterfeit that men have relied upon. We rely upon it right now. Everything you and I are doing right now, we rely upon money, the economy. We rely on food. We rely upon water. We rely upon the air we breathe. We rely upon work to make money, to pay the bills, to get food and water. We rely upon electricity. We rely upon food transportation systems. We rely on this world system to always provide our needs. And the danger in that is that whoever's controlling it will have the power over those who rely upon it. And this is why, as we move forward into the last days, God is wanting to prepare for what he's been revealing to us. Now, I've taken a lot of time to say these things, but I would like to open the telephone lines up right now and start talking with our listeners a little bit as we're going to shift and adjust into different directions. This is coming down the pike. All of this is coming. I cannot believe that God would be unveiling his word in such a beautiful way in these times if he was not wanting to relay proper information to the listeners that are out there, the people of God that are ready to go through these times. But it's important, and the reason why we have this Omega Radio Network and the open telephone lines is that we can begin to share and communicate with one another so that we could have a larger picture. There's no doubt that we're only giving a little bit, but together we could grow in our understanding and wisdom. And we are not trying to be dramatic. We are not trying to create things out of thin air. We really are seeking to understand the scripture. And unfortunately, there is so much conversation and talk going on in every direction that if we're not careful, we can get confused again. So what we need to do is be continually referring to the Word of God and balancing the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God for our preparations and so on and so forth. Now, to the individuals out there, and I'm just going to give a little break. You have to understand something, that the number right now is 818-369-0326. We would welcome your call. So if you dial that number, 818-369-0326, and then press 1 on your dial pad, we will bring you into the conversation. I'm looking at the phone lines right now, and they're packed. I mean, God bless each one of you that are tuning into this radio broadcast right now. God bless you. But why don't we have this conversation? What more do we need to understand about the times we are in right now? Are we awakening, or are we being put to sleep because of the over amount of information that is going on in the world today? So let's take our first call coming in from area code 231. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Vincent, this is Kurt. Just wanted to say, you know, what you're saying is very encouraging. And, you know, I've really benefited from listening in, and I appreciate all that.
Well, Kurt, it's good to hear from you, man. It's good to hear your voice. I know we've been talking to each other through text and so on and so forth. And you seem an individual that has really set your heart, and you're a family man. You work hard. You're a hardworking man, as I understand it. You have blessed this ministry time and again with your gifts, and we thank you for that. But talk to us about the very real, you know, day-to-day reality about preparing for these last days as you have done and understand it to be. In other words, how do you relate to the average person out there that's hearing this message? What would be your encouragement?
Yes. Can you just keep talking for a second, and I'll get to a place where I can answer that?
Okay, very good. So Kurt is probably working right now, and I want him to encourage you because we've had some conversations off the air, and Kurt has enlightened me to ways to text, for example, outside the system, and things he has been doing with his life and preparations. And so, Kurt, when you're ready, go ahead and share your heart. Okay, so you just let me know when you're there.
Yeah, okay, I'm back, Vincent.
Okay, all right, Kurt. So go ahead, talk to us about from your perspective.
Yeah, well, you know, let me just talk a little bit about what you just summed up there. And like I said, it was very encouraging. And I think there's an incredible need to prepare once you get your mind wrapped around what the Word says. And that's the hardest part. It's like a funnel. There's a lot of Christians at the top, and then they funnel down into what prophecy, understanding what prophecy really means. And I think once you study that out and really sort of let it, you know, percolate, you know, maybe you've had to fast or pray just to get answers. And God will reveal that to you and to the specific plan he has for your life. And that is so important because there's so many different ways of thinking about all this information and interpreting scripture that you have to have a handle on it. And what you're, you know, what you're talking about, what you're proposing, what the Bible is proposing is huge. It's just completely huge. So it's a different way of life. I constantly, you know, I've talked with my wife about the plans we're taking and, you know, what we've done. And just we have to, you know, we have to do a reset every now and then to think, okay, this is where we're at. And it is so hard to, you know, to really make that mental mindset to come out of Babylon when each and every day we, you know, we're in it, we're, whether it be cell phones or technology, all that. So you have to think differently. And many people might not have the resources, but I think God has a plan for, you know, each individual who's really seeking to understand the scriptures and to work, to have this be working out in their own lives. So that's kind of where we're at. We've done a lot of preparation. I feel, you know, I feel really good about it when I think about it. And I think about my own past and, wow, how could he be using me? But then I think of the details, some of the things I've already done, and how it's just natural that he would use me and all these different things that are, you know, specific to my situation and everything. So it's really a blessing when you understand this word and you, you know, get in line with that. And you've been such a blessing to myself and my wife and just moving forward and continuing to, you know, to prepare and to come out of Babylon, especially in these last days, and just to understand how are we actually gonna make it during the Mark of the Beast time frame and everything. But that's what I wanted to say on that, Vincent. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, Kurt. Well, thank you for sharing. And you sound, you know, I could hear the joy in Kurt's heart when he talked about the things he has already done to prepare. And I think that's pretty awesome that you could actually find joy in building your ark. And I wonder if the wilderness that the woman is going to flee into is not just one singular place, but there's a paradigm there of individuals here and there doing little works, bigger works, et cetera, where many of the remnant will actually be allowed into where things that have been prepared are going to be taken care of. So let's take our next call coming in this morning from area code 903 or 479-903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
The voice of Elder George.
Hello, Elder George.
Good morning, Patricia. Welcome to the broadcast. Hello,
thank
George.
I was just sitting here thinking about 87 years ago, born out here in the boonies in northern Wisconsin. Nobody around. No, there's one place half a mile up the road. But how in the wilderness now God has brought me through so many, many things, and how it is so wonderful to hear the word being in the mysteries of the word that are being opened by you and Patricia and her deliverance. And the Lord, our Father, is so good and blesses us when we walk and talk with him. And being here now, kind of exposed more to not living in Arkansas right now, it's awakening to a lot of what's going on in the world and the end times. A lot of them don't think that we're in the end times, and conversations we have with people and that it is. I just thank him bringing me. He has a purpose. He brought me through a triple bypass heart surgery, and he brought me through the cancer episode that was in the fourth stage. And he's got me now here, standing here on the floor of the place where I was born 87 years ago. And I just thank the Lord, praise him, and give him all the thanks and praise.
Well, amen, Elder George. And what a joy Elder George has been to the ministry, because here this 87-year-old man has been intrinsic in helping us to prepare our little ark in Northwest Arkansas, and he has put his hand to the plow, and how thankful are we for him. We have another call coming in right now, area code 479-238. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Morning, pastors. Y'all doing all right this morning?
Doing good, sir. How are you today?
Doing well. The gentleman before Elder George there, Kirk, made a comment that I'd have to agree with 1,000%. The Lord told him to prepare a certain way, but he might not tell the next person to prepare that particular way. He understands the resources we have or don't have. He understands our personality traits, the intricacies that he wove into us before we were yet in our mother's womb. So each individual will be told by God to prepare a certain way. Everybody brings something different to the table, the uniqueness, the way he created us. And I just agree with that so much that what he told you to do, he might tell somebody else to do something a little bit different. Just like Noah, when he prepared and took the animals in the ark, Joseph had to prepare for a 7-year famine, but they were both obedient and they both prepared.
Oh, excellent point. Absolutely, 100% true. God's people need to be listening and hearing. And what's really cool is that God has some people that are preparing for those that are just going to enter in and reap the benefit of their preparation.
That's 100% correct. Hopefully, and I believe God will give us the insight, because we'll have to have discernment to decide who can enter in to reap the benefits of that preparation. But God will let us know they're bringing something to the table. You know, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, they'll be bringing something to the table. He doesn't let anybody come empty-handed. There's nobody going to come in empty-handed before the Lord. And when it comes to coming to a place that he has prepared or put on people's hearts to prepare, those people that will enter in will have something to give, you know, whether it's spiritual, physical, or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, great points, and it's always interesting. Patricia, I want to make sure that you're said hello to today with that conversation. It must have been a very awkward thing for the children of Israel that grew up in Egypt, within the empire of Egypt. They've learned their systems. They've depended on how things were done. And even though they were slaves, they still lived in that. But when the time came for them to go out, you know, and it happened in a hurry, it didn't happen, you know, like years and years and years of preparation. It was a pretty quick transition from the empire of Egypt into the wilderness. And what a journey. How many people? But there were men, there were women, there were children, there were cattle. It must have been awkward. And I'm thinking today it's probably going to be a little awkward when the Spirit of God says to his people, come out of her.
The Spirit of God has already said it to his people. And I think what we need to understand and know is, who is Babylon? And, you know, what is Babylon all about? So we understand how to come out from her. And Babylon is the spirit of seduction, a culture that is very seductive, in which our culture has become. So we have to be careful what our eyes see and what our ears hear. That's one way to come out. And it's actively engaged, as you know, Babylon is engaged in deception and destruction of God's people. So we have to know that it is going to try to deceive us. So we have to come out from the deceptive work of the enemy. We must understand and know the will of God. It is important in order to come out from her. And that she rides upon the beast means that she's propped up by the forces of an anti-Christian government. And we have to also be very aware that this anti-Christian government, in which is already in process, though there are some battles against it taking over, is sort of losing the hold to be successful. But we as individual could come out of this anti-government that's anti-Christian, because we have to be careful what we put ourselves or get ourselves involved with in the process of government. Even Paul the Apostle says that I know I have to listen to God first before I listen to you, government.
Well, what an excellent point that is when we stop and think about it. And we talked yesterday about Babylon being the luxurious wealth machine that makes the nations of the earth rich through their abundance and through their merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. So when Babylon has full control of every system, those that operate within it are going to be very comfortable, very convenient. And it's at that time where God is calling his people out of that. And it would be very awkward to, you know, why do I want to leave all these conveniences? Why do I want to leave all of these things and step out into an environment where I don't have all this stuff to make my life convenient? But here I believe is the mystery, that sometimes all of the conveniences are bringing you into the snare. And that's why he says, come out of her, my people, lest you become partakers of her sins and of her plagues. So what happens when we hear God say, come out, and even though it is going to be this way, remember, when he says come out, he's not saying leave a burning, smoking Babylon. No, he's saying leaving a luxurious, delicacy, merchant-filled, wealthy Babylon of conveniences. But the mystery is when we come out, that the spirit of Babylon no longer has control over our minds. And while we're out in the wilderness, so to speak, outside of Babylon, the kingdom mindset, the lordship of Jesus Christ, the dependency upon God becomes a day-to-day, moment-to-moment reality.
Absolutely. And in that, the realization that Jesus has the authority over everything on this earth, and we are seated beside him, and he has given us power. He has given us his authority to speak life and calm storms, heal sickness, proclaim truth, cast out demons. And we have to take hold of our position and the authority that comes from being co-heirs with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places.
And I believe that the admonition to the seventh church in the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church age, they said, we don't need anything. We have everything we need. And they didn't know their true condition before God. And sometimes when you're living in Babylon, you think all your needs are met, but the spiritual condition is a problem. We have another call coming in from area code 605. Let's take that call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, concerning Babylon. Years ago, I sat with a prophet by the name of Dimitri Dudeman, and he said, get your Bible, sister. And we sat at the table, and he taught me about that Revelations 18. And he said, America is Babylon. And as you proceed in this chapter, you will see it pertains to wealth of a nation. And America has been the wealthiest nation on the earth, you know, for centuries now, or years, I mean. Okay, so with all this understanding of what the Bible teaches in Revelation 18, it says that Babylon's destruction will come in 1 hour. Their riches is not come to naught. And America fits. And I believe also the United Nations, all that. But America is a superpower, and there's something to this, that our country has gone the way that Revelation 18 speaks of in the Bible.
All right. So with that thought in mind, then we would have to understand that if America is that great city, if America is the headquarters of Babylon, if that is America, we need to understand that during the Great Tribulation, America will be the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth, and it will be rich. It will be making the merchants of the earth rich. In other words, the destruction of Babylon or the destruction of America would not happen until after the Great Tribulation. And a lot of times we think that the that Babylon will be destroyed during the tribulation. That is not, that would not be accurate according to the scriptures. So again, we go back to this teaching in Revelation chapter 3, which I think would be very profound right now, what is known as the lukewarm church. And in Revelation 3:14, under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So again, this Laodicean church age, this sounds like the church that is thriving in Babylon, thriving in Babylon, and yet does not know her spiritual condition. So yes, America carries all the components of Babylon. There's no doubt about it, but it will become an increasingly, if it is the Babylon in the last days, it will become more increasingly wealthy and dominant all over the world, if that's the truth, because that's who Babylon is.
It's already there. It's already in process. We can see it. And people say that are from all over the world, the news that comes from all over the world, that we're the richest nation in the world. And even though we see or we have been told that there are problems financially with banking and what have you, they can print as much money as they want. We are there. And we have to understand that it is crippling us being involved with the system of this nation. We have to learn how to rise above it, to live above it. And there's many concepts and rules by Christ himself that gives us opportunity and ways to live above this systems of the world, as your friend who called in had mentioned. So we have to be very encouraged today. We are not a victim of changing circumstances of life. We're not that victim. We're seated above with Jesus Christ, all principalities above all the world. And he so lovingly gave his life so you can live abundantly and victoriously in this world, bringing glory to his name, if you understand the economy of heaven.
And Patricia, that economy is connected to righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation, not wealth. And the problem is, with all of the wealth, what we desire in our leadership within this nation are righteous men and women of God who exalt the righteousness of God. If we are a nation that simply exalts our wealth and our pocketbook, we're setting the stage for that Babylonian spirit to take root and reach all over the world. So having said that, we've got just a minute or so left on the radio broadcast. It's been a pleasure being with everyone out there today. How long will we be able to come to the airwaves? How long will we be able to use this system? Well, we're learning and we're getting our hearts prepared for the time that God says, let it go. And when what that means is that we're holding on lightly right now. We're coming to the airwaves every morning, Monday through Friday. We're doing our part. Every day, I'm loading this radio station, the Omega Radio Network, on omegaradio.org with the greatest information I could get out there so that people want to be educated, they want to hear, they want to learn. We have that. But we're also preparing our hearts for when God says, let it go, it will not be such a hardship to turn it off, walk away, go out the front door, and go to the place that God has told us to prepare. And that is just a simple reality and something that I would hope that all of God's kids are doing. Remembering, we came into this world naked, we're not taking anything with us, and we are pilgrims, and this is not our eternal dwelling and abode. So whatever God has blessed you with, use it for the glory of God. And by the way, this would be a great time. We could use a little financial help in our lives. And if you would be willing to sow into this ministry, there's a way you could do that by simply going to our website, at omegaradio.org and donating to the work of the ministry. We could use it right now. This is how we live, by grace, by faith, and by what God puts in the hearts of people to sow into the ministry. Having said that, Patricia, we have run out of time, and tomorrow we're going to have Daniel Seckham. So please say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everyone. And remember, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You are loved.
Right now, omegaradio.org, Deliverance, the Roundtable Discussion.